It's the custom of the Pope to offer some Christmas greetings to his official family, which means the heads of the curial offices in Rome, the bishops and cardinals, that are like his official family there. And these are much more than just the exchange of good Christmas cheer. It's usually a more substantive message, kind of an end-of-the-year review from the perspective of the Bishop of Rome. And the one he gave just this past Christmas, 2010, is, I think, extremely interesting because it's probably Benedict's richest wrestling with this problem of clergy sex abuse. So it's good for us to attend to his rather extraordinary words. He drew attention to a little-known vision of Hildegard of Bingen. She was a 12th-century German mystic. But she had a vision of a great, beautiful woman, huge in stature, stretching from earth to heaven, with a beautiful vesture and the shining face. But yet her face was smeared in dust. Her vesture was ripped on one side and their shoes were blackened. And then Hildegard heard a voice saying, "This is a vision of the church. Beautiful, but compromised." Now here's what Benedict said in light of that vision. He appropriated it and claimed it really for our own time. He says, "The face of the church is stained with dust, and this is how we have seen it. Her garment is torn by the sins of priests. The way she, Hildegard, saw and expressed it is the way we have experienced it this past year." Pretty blunt words, those. Pope is owning up pretty honestly to the fact that we've got serious problems in the church, that something had gone very seriously awry in the way the church was living its life and presenting its message. Maybe the most commented upon line is this next one. He says this: "We must ask ourselves what was wrong in our proclamation, in our whole way of living the Christian life, to allow such a thing to happen." Now again, these are not the words of someone who is exculpating the church, trying to brush the problem under the carpet. These are the words of somebody who is very blunt and very clear and very honest. I think it's a very interesting comment. Obviously, the Pope is not saying there's something wrong with our teaching. Does anyone doubt the church is clear that the sexual abuse of children is a bad thing? The church couldn't be clearer about its sexual teaching. However, was there something wrong in the way that we were announcing, and more to it, living the faith and embodying Christ to the world? Was there, on the part of way too many priests, teachers, preachers, a lack of focus, a certain moral drift, a lack of spirit, energy, enthusiasm, a sort of hand-wringing uncertainty? Did we ring a very uncertain bell? Did we sound a very uncertain trumpet as we announced Christ to the world? I think it's a very telling self-criticism. But then the Pope does something, and I know the minute he does it, he's open to the charge of, shifting the blame. But how can you say someone who's made these remarks is trying to shift the blame? He's very aware of the church's own problems. But he insists we have to place it in the wider horizon of cultural dysfunction. The sexual abuse of children is not a problem that's unique to the Catholic Church, unique to the celibate priesthood, but it's ingredient in a wider cultural problem. Here are a couple of remarks he makes that I think are really interesting. He says that child pornography, which is, of course, a curse throughout the world, is, quote, being considered more and more normal by society. So, sure, that's just something that that people do, you know. Further, quote, that the psychological destruction of children, in which human persons are reduced to articles of merchandise, is a terrifying sign of the times. It's arresting, isn't it? Vatican II said the church has to read the signs of the times. Well, that's the positive signs, how Christ is operative in the world, but also, as the Pope points out here, those terrifying signs of the times, these signs of deep problem and moral compromise and dysfunction within society. He also mentions this, and I think it is fascinating. He said so many bishops who visit him in Rome for the ad limina visits talk about this horror of sexual tourism. That's to say, the exploitation of children, largely from the underdeveloped world, by predators from developed nations. He said all over the world, bishops report this problem. The point being, the sexual abuse of children is not something that's confined to the limits of the Catholic Church, but it's a problem that besets the whole of the society. I mean, let's face it, the sexual abuse of children is everywhere in our society, and every survey, every study shows that. You can find it in schools, you can find it in hospitals, you can find it in institutions, in locker rooms and playgrounds, and of course in families. So whatever is wrong with the Catholic Church in regard to this issue has got to be placed within the even wider framework of what's wrong with a dysfunctional human family. He's not shifting the blame. He's acknowledging the problems in the church, but also contextualizing them. The deepest problem, and here we come to a central theme in all of Pope Benedict's teaching, the central problem is this ethical relativism, this moral relativism that says there's no such thing as an intrinsically evil act. That acts are, well, good or evil depending on the circumstances, depending on the motivation, depending on consequences. What's good for you is not necessarily good for me, etc. That, for Pope Benedict, is the central problem that besets the whole society. Here's the kind of pithy way that he sums it up. Anything can be good or also bad, depending on purposes and circumstances. It's this faulty philosophy, born of our deep unwillingness ever to set a limit to our freedom and self-determination, that has in fact produced the atmosphere that makes the sexual abuse of children possible and even pervasive. And there is the fundamental problem. Here's what I like most about this statement of Pope Benedict. I think he very effectively holds off two non-starters. If you're really interested in dealing with this problem, two non-starters. One is the Catholic Church unwilling or unable to acknowledge its own problems. A Catholic Church that simply passes the buck and says, well, it's this or that, or we're not really responsible. No, no. He comes very clearly to grips with that problem. The second non-starter, though, is a kind of anti-Catholicism that would say it's your problem, it's a clerical problem, it's a problem of priests and celibacy, and that refuses to put it within the wider context. If we're truly interested in solving this problem and not just scoring ideological points, I think we'd be very well advised to attend to these wise words of the Bishop of Rome.